Okay, we have a lot of things to talk about in this week's Parsha. Even though the Yikra usually gives us a little less to talk about, it's a little less, maybe less exciting for us, but we have a number of things to address. Number one is our first week back. So we've had, some of us were in Israel anyway, so it's a little different when you're in Israel, and then, Yoni was in both. He was in Israel and out of Israel. So just perfect time when we started. So so when you're in Israel, and you're coming from Israel back to Yeshiva, even though it's a little hard to get back into things, maybe, it's a different feeling than when you're coming from America back into Eretz Yisrael. So just, you're back and it's a lot in your mind. For example, I'll give you an example of what people may have in their mind. You guys did, Baruch Hashem, you've done great over the course of the year. Excellent. I couldn't be proud. I could be prouder, but not much prouder of you than I am already. So you might think, listen, I did a lot. I come back home, I see how much I've grown. I'm content. I'm happy with who I am. And that will bring a challenge now, because we have about 2 months left, a little less than 2 months left, about 8 weeks left in Yeshiva. And we feel like we did already a lot, and to quote the Haggadah, Dayenu, we're pretty good. We can rest. It's a challenge that you bring right now. I want to address that issue. The issue of feeling like I accomplished a lot, I'm happy with how I did, I'm happy with who I am, I'm ready kind of to just more coast from this point forward. Issue number one we'll address today. Number two is Sfiras Omer. To quote from the Rosh Yeshiva, gave a shira 2 days ago, and he had one of the Mamakomos ask this Kasha, which we're going to address, is why is there no Shechianu in the Sfiras Omer? So we already mentioned it in his, there's no Hana. I forgot to mention that in Shir, but one of you guys mentioned that in Shir. I think Ellie mentioned that in Shir. Threw that out there. I wish I could hear you, but I heard you. I'm proud of you, Ellie Lipner. Proud of
you, Ellie Lipner.
A little Shidduch shout out for those ladies listening at home. So that's one is why we have Shechianu in the Sfiras Omer. It comes up very rarely, as Rosh Yeshiva pointed out. It comes up only occasionally, once a year for extended period of days, but once a year. And also, usually when you count towards something, people always say you count down. But yeah, we count up. It's a strange thing. Well, usually, again, when you imagine, 10th of the game, what did God say, 9-10? And then, so the game's over? What does that mean? What happened? Strange. Everyone counts down to things, and yet we're counting up. What's the problem with that? Why are we doing that? So the Sefer Chinuch Rosh Yeshiva quotes the Sefer Chinuch, actually, if you guys saw inside, it has a whole pshat in that as well. We're not going to discuss his pshat. I'll give a different pshat a little bit if I can. And the last, and the first partial related one we have, which we're going to start with, actually, is a partial related one, is... I'm going to take the beginning of Mitzora. Some of you guys, I don't know what Parsha you're even up to. Some of you guys are up to Shemini. Some of you guys are having a triple Parsha this week, I think. I don't know what's happening with you guys, but it's a complex thing. But in Israel, we're in Tazria Mitzora. We're doing Tazria double Parsha. So I'll start with Mitzora. Mitzora describes that when you, the part of the korbanos that are brought for the Mitzora herself, or himself, are birds. You bring two birds. So Rashi over here quotes the Medrash, why birds? So he says the following thing. I'll read to you inside. He says, Chayos, he quotes Gemara in Chul and Erchin, that you committed a crime of Maase Pitpute Devarim. Pitpute means to chatter. You chatter like a bird, chirping, 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 chirping. That's what you did. You chirp. So you bring birds because they also chirp. They can also like these types of behaviors. So, Lashon Hara is a very serious thing. It's the only one I'm aware of that has its own disease. It's the only crime wherever that has its own disease. What is such a big... I mean, again, everyone, not most people don't do Avodah Zarah, Avodah Gilui Raya, most people don't do Shichas Davim, except for Aaron Hernandez, most people don't do it. It's not like not such a popular thing to do. What's that? Allegedly, thank you. I'm not sure if he did it either. He definitely was there when it happened, as he himself admitted, which kind of makes things difficult to, to believe him at this point in time. But they had no proof, or they found him guilty anyways. He's such an unlikable figure. That's how unlikable he is. Whatever. Still Gronk, at least. So okay. Why is it the only crime, wherever it is, the only sin that we have in our Torah that it happens to have its own designated punishment? Taras. It's just Lashon Hara. And it's something that we're all guilty about. We're all guilty of. So how are we supposed to understand Taras? And Lashon Hara. Not only that, but whenever you usually have a punishment, it usually is supposed to be fitting of the crime. It's supposed to be reminding us of something and kind of making us rethink our actions. So when Rashi over here mentions that we're kind of just tripping along in our own own way, is that terrible? To be like a little bird? Like birds are cute. People bird watch. They chirp. They have nice songs. That's like, what's the heinous crime of being a chirper like a bird? That it deserves our own punishment. That it's even... According to some of the Gemara's, even connected all the big of Eretz Lashon Hara is connected Kulam. It's so bad. Why is it such a terrible, terrible thing? So the answer, I think, and this will hopefully be the seem I want to kind of weave across this entire next few minutes that we have, but to answer all the questions, is the terrible thing about being a chirper is that your behavior, your actions are thoughtless. You don't think before you act. Just you go, you just do, you chirp, you speak, you have something to say, you just speak it out, you have no filter. To not think before you do an action is an extremely dangerous behavior, not only in speaking, but in many areas. But we'll address speaking for the time being to start off with. Again, I mentioned this in Shira one time, I don't know if you've ever seen it before, I mentioned in Shira a number of weeks ago, that the greatness of one of my Rebbeim, Rav Tversky, is exactly this. I mentioned earlier on, if you remember the whole fork mashal I gave over to you guys when he was... You guys remember this discussion about the Rav Tversky? I'll remind you quickly. One time a few years ago, we had a show. It was, I remember I remember who was there, so I don't know how many years ago. I think it's 4 years ago. So we were sitting outside the porch on the level number one, where the offices are, outside the porch, not the big porch, the small porch, the less nice porch. Not where Shmuel saved the day and brought the guitar that time. The other porch. And Rav Tversky was doing question answer. It was me and Rav Tversky, question answer, some two of us, really him, question answer, and I was just next to him. And it was a Shabbos, it was an out Shabbos. And someone asked him a very painful question to Rav Tversky. He said, you know, Eretz Yisrael is so important to you, then how come you don't live in Israel? So question, something like, it wasn't so disrespectful, but it was a question like that. And he sat there, and he had in front of him like a plastic fork, and he sat there for literally four minutes at least, like just moving the fork around and not saying a word. And they gave an answer. I don't remember what the answer was. Rav Tversky said, not the answer that's great, which the answers are also great. That's not the point, though. The amount of thought he puts into answering a question is unbelievable. The challenge that we have as people who speak Lashon Hara is that we don't think, mostly, before we speak. We so much want to tell over the information that I don't think before I do. I just do it. I can't hold it anymore. And we just blurt it out. When a person takes his time and answers a question, it's not the answer maybe is better or not. I don't know if it's better or not better. But the thought they took to answer the question is the most important part of that equation. Just to give you a fascinating story I heard one time by Rav Eisenstein, who speaks here on the Gritz Kol on Thursday nights. He's a chashuv rav, and one time we went together in the van, he told me a story that he think he was there for it. He learned a shiva called Torah Vadas, and he heard one time Rav Pam speaking from the pulpit saying the 20 words that a Ben Torah should never say. You know, they had like the 5 words you can't say on television? So I don't think he even uttered those words. I imagine he would never say such words. So 20 words that a Ben Torah, not a regular person, no one should say those bad words, but a Ben Torah shouldn't say 20 other words. And he brought down words that I don't say in my family, maybe STUPID or IDIOT or things like that that are not nice to talk to say to people. It's not nice. And then he said the word whatchamacallit. That's one of the words. I was like, among the list of 20, whatchamacallit is one of the words. So back in my day, whatchamacallit was actually a candy bar. You guys, well before your time, was a candy bar. You have it still? They have it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. It's back. They made a what's it called? Made a comeback. Thank you. Gosh. But it's not really a bad word. I would say that word in my family, whatchamacallit. So someone afterwards came over to him and said to him, but they'd be like, whatchamacallit? You don't like the candy bar? What's the big deal? So he said back to him, he said, whatchamacallit means that you're trying to find your word. Like you're not sure what you want to say. He says, how dare you speak to someone else and not think what we have to say before you say it to them? How could you do that? They're not worth your time to think about what you want to say. For you to stammer and respond to someone without having thought about your response in advance, that's a chutzpah. That's a terrible word because it shows that you haven't thought out your words in advance. That's the level of what it means to be someone who's not full of pitpute dvarim. Chatter. No, someone who's waits and thinks and is like, this is what I should say, this is what I want to say, and then he says it. That's an unbelievable level. Not only that, but what makes us great as humans is actually our speech. That's what sets us aside from animal. How do we know that? What makes us different is speaking. Besides that, you can just know that. But when Bereshis happened, and you look at the beginning, and Hashem breathed, it says that He made man to a nefesh chaya. He made man into a living being. He breathed godliness into man. Says the unklus on the spot. He breathed into us what's called ruach mimala, which means speaking. He gave us the ability to speak. That's the gift that God gives man. Could you imagine taking the most godly gift in the world, which is the ability to speak, and completely abusing it? That's the most terrible behavior. So tzaras represents someone who took a godly gift and just dragged it through the mud. And he gets his own disease out of that. And it can cause tremendous danger to speak ill. Tremendous danger. I don't know if everyone had been on the receiving end of Lashon Hara about yourself, where someone said something bad about you and it like spread like wildfire. And everyone heard about it.
whether it's true or not, and it was just like knocked you down completely. Or maybe you did it to someone else. God forbid you said it to someone else, and it was so damaging. I'll tell you a story. I read a story just, where did I read it? There's a sefer called, I think, Lahagid by Rav Yaakov Galinsky. Tell the following story over. He said, there were these two girls sitting on a bus. They were like young, marriageable age girls, like 21 years old. And they were talking amongst themselves, and they're very good friends, I guess, in quotes. I just got engaged to a guy. And they were talking about the girl, like, I can't believe this girl got engaged to that guy. He is so out of her league. She's like, she's not worthy of him. You know what she does? She does X, and she does Y, and she's so fixated on external things, and almost like character assassination like you've never heard. To each other, about a girl who wasn't even there. At the end of the conversation, the woman in front of him turns around and says, thank you so much. She goes, what are you talking about? She goes, you know, I overheard the conversation, and my son's the one who got engaged to her. Thank you so much for sharing with me like the truth about this girl. I'm going to go home right away, tell my son to call it off. And they're like, she's like, no, you don't understand. We were just exaggerating. She's one of our best friends. Like we're really close. I'll show you a picture of her. She's my screensaver on my phone. Like, we're really close. No, come on. I know you said the first thing you said without me prodding you. You said, you know, I was even. I appreciate it. I'm really going to take that into account when I speak to my son when I get home. The woman lost the bus. It wasn't her son. It wasn't. She didn't know the person with the hole in the wall. But she was just trying to show these girls, and she never told them. She never even told them it wasn't her son. Do you understand the damage that you could do? You don't know who hears you. The pain that you could cause someone with what you say, it's terrible. And you're taking a godly thing, which is Ruach Malah, the speaking, and you're dragging through the mud. You deserve your own punishment. God created a whole disease because that's how terrible it really is. And yet you and I, all of us, probably daily, if not multiple times, they are guilty of doing it. Something you have to be very, very conscious and very, very cautious of. Part number one. Maybe you'll say, by the way, the last point, maybe you'll say even like, it's hard to remember what comes out of my mouth. So there's a recent, I don't know if you guys are following, there's a recent like steroid, I guess I'll lose my English today. Not an investigation, but there's been an epidemic. It's an epidemic, thank you. Recently, they just found nine people, most of them are pitchers actually, but nine players who just were caught with the same exact steroid that they found in their system in the last few weeks. And they always say the same thing. They always say whenever they find them, they always say, what's the first line they always say? Well, you say, I don't know how they got my body. I don't know how they got my body. Like, I didn't take that. It must have been some sort of tainted, whatever. I took some energy thing. It must have been tainted. I don't know how I got my body. So they asked one of the managers of these players, like, so what do you think about that story? He says, okay, that's what he says. He goes, I know everything goes in my body. I know it goes in my body. Okay, whatever. It goes in his body. It's strange. It's your job to figure out your body. You know everything goes in. It's a very strange answer. I don't know what goes in my body. But we say something, oh, I didn't realize what came out of my body. I didn't realize. It's a silly answer. Your only job in the world is to realize what goes in and out of your body. It's the only job you have in the world. That's it. What goes in your body, what goes out of your body. He's speaking in a way that's hurtful, that's harmful. With God's gift that he gave you, which is speech. That makes you man, makes you special. And to use it in a negative fashion that deserves its own disease. You got to figure out a way to be more conscious of what you say. Like a Torsi. If it even means being awkward. Be that guy who's so awkward. How's your day today? Pretty good. Yours? They'd be like, what's with the slow talker? What's the delay? Like, what's going on? Is it a bad connection? Like, I don't understand. Be that guy. It means you think before you talk. It means you don't speak Lashon Hara, because why would you ever do that? Well, it's such a terrible thing that can be so damaging. Running out of time, so I'll speed up the last few points I want to raise. Coming back, we are back in yeshiva now. I would not blame any of you looking in the mirror and saying, you know what, I did good. I'm proud. I stood to a lot of tests that came in front of me until now when I was in the Benes Manim. Some things I passed and I failed, but I'm proud of where I am. I want to maintain. I want to maintain. So Chavetz Chaim has a story I read today in the Sefer. I think it was Chavetz Chaim's story. I don't remember where it was from. I think it was either Alein Lashevech or Lahagid. I think it was from, I don't remember which one it was. Anyways, it said the story of a man who came into his office and said, he's an older man, and he has 6 children. He wants to give 1/7 of his inheritance in the future to the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva as a gift to the Yeshiva. But one condition is, I want you to learn Mishnayos for me when I die. I want you, Chafetz Chaim himself, to learn Mishnayos for me when I die. And I'll give 1/7 of that, a seventh to each of my children, 6 of them, and 1/7 to you, and that'll be the even sevens. And that'll, I'll give it to us. Chafetz Chaim basically rejected the suggestion. Says, what? Number one, why would you wait till you die to do a mitzvah? Do a mitzvah. Give money now. Give me 1/7 of it right now, so while you're alive, you get zchuyos. And number two, this is the part I want to focus on. Why in the world would you wait for me to say Mishnas for you? Why don't you say Mishnas for you? Why wouldn't you want to learn Mishnas for yourself while you're still alive? You think that my learning for you will be better than your learning for you? Are you kidding me? The most you give yourself is to learn. More than the acting for you is you can learn for you. There's so many people I know of that go to a Rebbe and ask for a bracha. Daven for me, Rebbe. You daven for you. The person who can daven most for you, more than the greatest daven in the world, and maybe a guy who's known to be the best daven in the world, you can daven better for yourself than he can daven for you. Because sometimes you're still alive. Why are you waiting till you die, till it's over, and then ask someone else to just help you out? You're here right now. Do it. Do it yourself right now. You can still do more. You're still here. Anyone here who was on the poetry trip and watched Schindler's List? So his greatest lament as he parted from his workers was that he still had things he could have done in theory. He could have done more. And he didn't do enough. He didn't do more. That's the idea of here. What the Chafetz Chaim is saying, you're still here. Why would you ever not think eventually what you have while you're still here? I mentioned in the shir while we're waiting for the siren to ring up on the top of Uziel, or in the middle of Uziel, that there's an idea of learning Torah with Ashiris. You learn Torah being wealthy. What does that mean? Wealthy doesn't mean you have money. It means you have no cares in the world. You're sitting right now for 2 months with no cares in the world. There's nothing on your plate. What the worst thing means is you follow sports and your team's in the playoffs. That's the worst thing. Is you want to watch the game. By the way, it's bad if it's going to interfere with your learning. It's bad. It's bad. I'm not living it. It should interfere with learning. I don't mean you've watched it, but don't interfere with learning. But you don't have a family to worry about right now. You're not part of issues. You're here. You have food for you. It's right outside waiting for us. We're already a minute too late. 2 minutes later, 3 minutes later, ready. It's right outside. I'll be there when we get out. I'll be there also. There's no fear. There's nothing to worry about. You're learning in a state of richness. It's so much easier for us right now. This is the time to be working even harder if we can. Oh, that moves to my last point, which is Sfiras Omer. Why not Shechianu? Because part of what Shechianu says, Shechianu Dekimanu V'Yigianu Azmanazeh. So what it says over here, V'Yigianu means that you arrived. You've arrived nowhere when you started Sfiras Omer. You've arrived nowhere. You know why? Because it happens in Sfiras Omer, it's not a Stam Bracha, it's a journey. You're on a current journey. There are 49 days. We're right now in the middle of day number 12. There are 49 levels of impurity that we left Mitzrayim with, and there are 49 days of Sfiras Omer. It's a journey that you're on. How in the world can we say V'Yigianu when it's not even true? I got to what? I got to the first day. I'm so far from the place I'm supposed to be going to in the end. Rav Pinkus asked at the final, and I'll end with this point, and this is very, very important to you guys to listen to. It's very important. This is crucial for you to understand the rest of your year. Rav Pinkus says, he says, why don't we have in the Torah more of reference to Matan Torah? I'm counting to Matan Torah. Why didn't God share it with us? Why wasn't that part of the count? You're counting to the days you got in the Torah. So Rav Pinkus, I can't say to you words that you don't understand. You know what Matan Torah means? You have no idea what Matan Torah means. So why would I even throw it out there? It's like me saying to you, we're counting down right now to something you never heard of beforehand. I'm counting to it right now. You've never heard of it, so you can't appreciate what it is. I'm not even gonna embarrass it and belittle it by mentioning its name when you can't understand at all what it even means in the end. That's also why, says Rav Pinkus, when Hashem took Avram to Eretz Yisrael, he said, I'll go to the land, Asher Ekra, I'll show you the land, I'll show it to you. Why not tell what the land's called? Because you don't understand even what this land is. You couldn't understand if I even tried to tell you. And therefore, I'm not even going to say it. I can't describe something that's indescribable. So I'm holding off on it. Matan Torah? Who can describe that? So I can't even mention it where we're going to. That's why we count up, not down, because we're not counting down somewhere right. We're not there yet. We have to build ourselves up in order to get there. Just in Benes Manam, I was talking to a boy, and I end with this. He was he's visiting for next year. He came to visit Yeshiva. I'm with his father, him, and the boy was looking at Yeshiva. He's a Sephardi fellow, so he says a little bit later in life. He says a little bit later, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not a hater. Just saying. And I was trying to explain to him, why it's important to go to Yer in Israel. Trying to explain to him what the significance of going to Yer in Israel is. I couldn't do it. I said to him in the end, I said, I can't even explain to you the difference in life between going. I can't explain to you. I can say words, but it will mean nothing to you. I just can't tell you. I can't tell you about it at all. You're sitting right now. We're 3/4 of the way through the year. It's almost over. Who here could have imagined where you're holding currently? Who could have imagined that you would feel the way you do right now about God? Who could have possibly imagined? And if you could have imagined it, it means you did a bad job. It means you didn't do good. It means you're not holding where you should be. Who could possibly have imagined how committed they'd be to davening, to learning, how much they want to make this a part of their life in the future? How they've sacrificed things they love because they know it's not right for them anymore. Who could have imagined that? No one could imagine that. It's impossible, so I can't tell you about it because it's not imaginable. And Archer, I can't tell you where we're going to because you can't appreciate it until you get there. When you get there, unbelievable, but I can't tell you about it. It won't do it justice. I can't count to Matan Torah. I can't tell. You know why? Because I can't do justice what's going to happen at the end. You know why? Because it depends on you. You got 2 years of Omer last year also, and you already got there. Yeah, you got there already. You can't compare 2 years of Omer last year to this year. You can't compare it. Because you're on a journey right now. There's no reason why your journey should end the same way it was last year. It's a different journey. And we can't say, oh, you know what's coming later on? Because we have no idea what's coming later on. You have no idea. You have another 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, to figure out what's going to happen in Shabbat Shavuos. We'll say the same davening. We'll have the same customs of eating cheesecake and putting flowers on and davening. They're all the same leaning. But you're not the same. If you do a good job in the next few weeks, Tzeres Omer, you do a good job, then your Shavuos is different. I can't even explain to you what it's going to be like. Because I can't do it justice. I couldn't describe it to you. I'll give you the following bracha. We should take the lessons of the Metzora, understand the power of speech, how damaging it is, but yet how important it is. Never do an action without thinking about it. Not only speaking, but any other action. You think that you accomplished enough to go on, you're still alive. The Chafetz Chaim says, learn for yourself. Don't wait till you're dead. Don't wait till you leave. You still have what to do. And we don't tell you, yeah, we're not even close to being there yet. We're not in Matan Torah yet. You have no idea where we're going to yet, even though you've been there already. You've never been there this year. You've never been there during your Shana Av. You've never been there when you're so committed to learning. Ashirus, you're rich in learning. No other warriors in the world. Leave you a bracha that as the year goes, and we're trying to get back into things, you should have the strength of character to see beyond the end, the finish line. And instead, see this as part of a journey, which we're much of the way through. But we have a long way to go still.